This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. The Nuggets have three games remaining, and if you remember, they had three games remaining last season before they fired their head coach, Michael Malone, and their general manager, Calvin Booth. And Sean Keeler from the Denver Post puts it together perfectly for us in the Denver Post. Check it out online, denverpost.com. Nuggets purged Michael Malone a year ago. Are Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray better off? Sean Keeler, welcome to the program, my friend. Always good to catch up with you.
Same. Happy Purge Day to you, my friend.
It's crazy. It's been a year. So many things have happened.
Yeah. If Chicago can have Lee Elia Day, can we have Purge Day or Nuggets Purge Day every April 8th?
It's funny you mentioned that, because this is kind of a thing. I mean, when in history have we seen a coach, no less, and a general manager fired going into the playoffs with, I don't know, a somewhat of a chance to maybe win, maybe a very small chance, but to still fire your coach and your general manager, it was kind of uncharted territory. So it is kind of like a weird holiday kind of thing.
Well, we celebrate in different ways. In the Malone household, they celebrated with a $50 million gift card
from
North Carolina.
Yeah. Sean, what did you think of that hire, by the way? I'm perplexed by it.
I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that, other than his daughter being there and the infrastructure, why Malone would go there. But it's not that different. You know, they're definitely on the UNC side doubling down on the Belichick model of let's go get a name and let's get a personality and let's get a pro guy. Now it's a little bit of the Dion model. It's CU. Let's get a pro guy who has a lot of cachet in the league, which Michael Malone absolutely does. But man, that job, that's an amazing job. And in a Chapel, I don't know if you've ever been there. Chapel Hill's amazing, but boy, you don't win there. You don't win a lot. It's kind of the Bama football of hoops, or if you want to throw Kentucky and KU and UCLA, a few other ones in there. I mean, you have got to be a top five deal, and for it being your first collegiate head gig, I mean, if anybody can take the pressure and handle that stuff, it's Michael Malone. But that's not a fun deal. So I wish him luck. It's a bit of an odd fit. UNC doesn't like to go outside the family either, and I sense that their tolerance for mediocrity or not outstanding play outside the family is not going to be very high. But Michael Malone said, I kept saying no, and they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. And $50 million is what a lot of us couldn't refuse.
Yeah, I figured for sure he'd be back in the NBA. This was absolutely stunning for me.
But find it one other, and I don't mean to jump in of it, because Bennett Durando and I were discussing this yesterday, because it both hit us way too late in the game that today was the one-year anniversary. And I said, I don't think that's a coincidence. What do you think that of all the offset payments and all the rest of it and all the lack of, interview requests from local media here and some of the things is that he had to wait 1 year, and that's when that kind of landed. I just don't think that was a coincidence. Do you?
That he took a job a year later?
Took a job exactly 1 year to the day.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but that is, yeah. I mean, that is kind of odd. And
it probably had a year. If you shut up, you don't say anything, you get your full bit of it, and then we'll see. That's kind of how that works.
Well, and he was all over. I mean, on social media, whatever. You, if you are a sports fan, that was dominating your algorithm. Was his introductory press conference?
Yeah, UNC, and the funny thing is, too, is that UNC is one of those 10 media things that ESPN has always cared a lot about. It's always done really, really good numbers for them, obviously. Like the Yankees, like there are things that ESPN is in the business with. It always has been. The NBA has been more of the last generation, but they've always loved Yankees, Red Sox, and by God, they've always loved UNC Duke. I just roll my eyes anytime that game would come because I'm convinced that the fate of the free world was hanging on every friggin' possession. And I grew, as someone who didn't go to UNC or Duke, I grew kind of disgusted by that, the way I kind of got tired of four-hour Yankees-Red Sox games having to dominate my life and dominate ESPN's life. So, I mean, good luck to him. Like Dion, he's going to get a lot of love from Disney, a lot of love from the mothership. And unlike Dion, if he doesn't win there and win right away, they're going to come after him hard. That's very different from CU. Like, that's where it's CU football. That's colossally different. You have to hit that thing running, or they're not going to put up with it. And I think he knows that.
It'll be fascinating to kind of watch and just see how, because obviously for Bill Belichick, it hasn't been fantastic. I don't think he helped himself with some of the, people on the sidelines and that kind of thing.
Michael's going to seem normal compared to the Belichick.
That's like, true.
For as quirky and as temperamental and as intolerant of fools as he can be, and as New York as he can be, and freaking Chapel Hill, which is not New York at all, compared to Belichick, he's going to feel like Mother Teresa. So, I mean, good on him.
Well, okay, so Sean, I was a fan of Michael Malone. You know, sure. I was indifferent,
as
I suppose.
As am I, to be fair.
Yeah.
I am a fan of Michael Malone, personally and professionally.
I was shocked by the news. I was sad by the news. And then I kind of got the news, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a fanboy sometimes. But I kind of was like, all right, maybe this will work out. Let's go all in on David Adelman. But I just remember through the years watching Michael Malone on the sidelines. I mean, the guy, he looked so frustrated at times, man. You know the look I'm talking about, where it's just this look of just absolute stress. And I'm thinking, that's going to triple dealing with college basketball players, man. He's going to be stressed out of his mind.
It is. And I've heard the equivalencies of, well, NIL has made it like the blinds are blurred. And Coach Prime's been ahead of that curve too. Although, again, as we said, the curve is catching up. It's semi-pro ball now, and really, it's more pro than semi, with where things are going, where people are being paid. Okay, yeah, that's really, really true. But ultimately, and this kind of segues into the column that's up at DenverPost.com and is in print right now. It's your local, wherever they've still got newspapers. God bless you, 7-Elevens will still have it. But regardless, the Nuggets started tuning him out, and kids will tune that stuff out. That's the fine. Now, to your point, I think that you're making is that's going to be a fine line that he's going to have to either adapt or die at that level too. And I'll be very curious to see too, because these aren't adults. These are actually what these are is these are teenagers. And these are kids who think they're adults and are making adult money. And where Michael Malone has an advantage, and we're going way deeper into this than I thought we would at UNC. Is this the Chapel Hill news source? But where Michael Malone is getting an advantage is he's used to dealing with people who care about their pocketbooks and react first to their pocketbooks. But he's not dealing with mature people who have money for the first time. And so that'll be fascinating because that dichotomy is really, really, really different. And again, to go back to the CU thing and Dion's comments yesterday about it, I'm not going to clap back at people who are playing the victim and taking advantage of us and on down the line, yada, yada, yada. And that's fine and great. Take the high road. I don't think the low road has been as low as the social media would make it believe, because as you know, if you come clap back at anything Coach Prime related, it becomes a nuclear thing and they have to blow it up and how dare you and on down the line. But it's a different deal. And kids who care about money first don't always make really good choices. I think Dion and I both agree on that. I think kids who think with their wallet, you can't hand a 16-year-old a Trans Am and expect them not to crash it at some point. I think it's just kind of common sense. And now Michael Malone's in the worlds of 16, 18-year-olds with Trans Am. So good luck.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. So, Sean, fast forward, David Adelman's the coach, and we have kind of two general manager type situation going on. Ben Tenzer, executive VP, and John Wallace, executive VP of player personnel. Are the Nuggets right now, not without looking at the playoffs, today, are they better off than they were a year ago?
They're four games better, they're six games closer to OKC, and they've won nine in a row. You tell me.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you, Sean, a month ago, it might have been a different conversation,
but it does
feel different right now.
It does, and that was what struck me as well yesterday when thinking about this after that win Monday night. It didn't look good, and a lot of these have been home wins. A lot of them haven't been pretty, but if you simply throw that out there, the 51 wins versus 46-47 at this time, they were 3-7 in their last 10. They're 9-0 in their last 9 this year. No NBA coach in the Nuggets NBA history has won as many games in his first full season as David Adelman.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
George Karl, who was good. Now, first full season. George Karl went 32-8, taking over at the end of the season prior to his first full season. But nobody's done that. I mean, I'm not saying David Adelman is not perfect, but he's not what the internet and X would have you believe, right? I don't think it's that bad.
Well, Sean, especially with all the injuries, for him to have that stat, that number is pretty overwhelming.
Right. High up in the column. You know the Jokic stat? The last 3 years before his dismissal, Michael Malone in non-Jokic games was 11-16. And I think it was 2-6 the year before, so 13-22 since 2021. And that's understandable, right? Let's be real about, as we've talked about, this is Larry Bird. This is this is Hakeem Olajuwon. This is Larry Bird meets Hakeem Olajuwon. This is a generation. Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, kind of.
If you think about it, a little Tim Duncan. Yeah, it's kind of that. It's a generational Hall of Fame basketball player in the greatest in Nuggets history in this window that we all want to see them take advantage of. So when those guys don't play, you go, 13-22, that's not bad. You know what David Adelman's record is. This short sample size, sure, but you know what his record is this season with a month without Nikola Jokic. A month without the best player in team history. And one of the best, as we talked about Mount Rushmore last week, one of the best four pro athletes in a pro sports mad town. A Mount Rushmore guy. David Adelman went 11-6.
It's phenomenal. It's unreal. Yeah, because the big hashtag was jokerless minutes, you know,
and
look what Adelman did when there were no minutes at all in those games.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, and this I had to hedge on the column some because I don't know. The question is, if I had bigger stones, it would have been, are they better off? They're absolutely better off, and here's why. I think the playoffs are the ultimate judge of that, and Adelman knows that. Malone always knew that, too. What happens in the next 7 weeks? Thus, my first paragraph is congratulations on Happy Purge Day, David Adelman. You've got 7 weeks to prove Twitter wrong. Because that's where this season, as it is with the Avs, is ultimately going to be judged. So far, so good. I mean, you've asked me before, what grade would you give Adelman or give the Nuggets in the regular season? I'd give him a B+ on the regular season, given all the injuries. All the kind of maneuvering you've had to do. But then some of the late game situations have been bad until lately. It's been tough. And Aaron Gordon changes a lot. Amazingly. That doesn't shock anybody. But the season is going to be graded on what happens in a playoff sport, in a playoff league, with what you do in that bracket. So it's a TBD. It's an incomplete. Those are two different seasons and two different grades. And ultimately, though, his success and his comp to Michael Malone is going to be judged on how many rings he gets the greatest player, helps get the greatest player in Nuggets history, period. Because that's all anybody really cares about. That's the bottom line. And it should be, because we're in that window, and Joker is 31. So we're in a window, and the clock is ticking.
Sean, I got just a couple minutes here, but let me, just kind of summarize it for me. What is different with David Adelman than it was, not early for Michael Malone, but especially like the last year or two? What do you see the major differences?
Well, it's very simply, there isn't the guys pulling on different directions on the same rope. A body cannot fight itself and move forward. And when you heard about things behind the scenes, you saw a little bit publicly, but not a lot. And the more you think about the 2023 to 2025 Nuggets, the more that a tug of war starts to add up to the thing that explained why things weren't happening, right? Peyton Watson got a lot more playing time this year out of necessity more than design, but he certainly took advantage of it. You know, you saw some other young guys. Spencer Jones had to play a lot, not by design, but out of necessity, and gave them some good minutes. I think that's a feather in Allman's cap too, and I don't think he would have seen. I don't think he would have seen a Jokic team go 11, a non-Jokic team go 11-6 under Michael Malone. I don't think you would have seen Spencer Jones as much as you would have seen him this year if Michael Malone was still coaching this team. So you can decide whether or not that's a good or a bad thing. But again, ultimately, I think the playoffs are going to determine that more than anything else.
Yeah, I think right now it does feel comfortable to say yes, they're better off. But we'll see. Would you rather them have the third seed or move down a little bit? I mean, do we want OKC or do we want San Antonio in the second round? Assuming there is a second round for the Nuggets.
Yeah, that's a great debate, and I think that every path stinks and every path is hard. I'm going to stick with what I put in print in Tuesday's paper, in that I think a 4-5 is still okay. I mean, it's matchups more than the seeding, but, you know, OKC's the one, and you know San Antonio's the two. You know, isn't it the last five in a row defending champs have gotten knocked out in the second round? Five in a row. So either OKC is going to break that run, or then if they do, you look out. And they are a lot like the early mid-aughts Warriors that way. But yeah, five in a row, including the Nuggets 2 years ago, went out in that second round. So if you are going to get OKC, I don't think you want him in the conference finals. I think you want him when you're still relatively fresh, given your injuries and Gordon's health and everything else, rather than three rounds in where you've had to battle San Antonio and then get OKC on the other side. Because really, it's about you're presuming you're going to get OKC at some point. It's a question of not do you want OKC or Spurs, do you want the Thunder in the second round or the conference finals? I might say the second round, and people will debate, and that's fine, but I think it's a fun debate to have, and hopefully we get to have that debate.
I'm with you, my friend. Sean, great stuff from you as always. Happy Purge Day to you, my friend.
Happy birthday to you. Take care, buddy.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 22 minutes after the hour. All right, we'll wrap up next. We got What Do We Learn coming up, and then we'll send it out, see if the Rockies can sweep. They've already won the series. Can they sweep the Astros? Coming up here a little bit later on KFKA. We'll be right back.
The Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
What did we learn today, Michael? We didn't have time to do it today, but what did we learn? You could start. Yeah, go ahead. It's a safe space.
I learned that sometimes even the first segment can go off the rails.
Yeah, it did. It did. You pissed a lot of people off, and that's fine.
I pissed golfers off.
You did. You pissed tracks people off all the time, and then you say golf's not a sport, and it's just like, I'm not even a big golf guy. But I can appreciate the sport, and I can understand that it's a sport. Rockies are coming up. Are we going to get the sweep?
No.
The kiss of death right there. I don't know. Probably not. I don't think they're going to get it done. But if they win this game, I think then we start to really, if you get back to 500, I mean, you got Michael Lorenzen pitching, who got blown up on Friday. So can he recover? I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of runs in this game. I'm thinking so. Tomorrow on the show, Mike, we'll have more time. I want to get into this Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini thing. I don't know if you saw this, but it's kind of like the Coldplay concert thing playing out. Diana Rossini, of course, she's with The Athletic. She's an NFL reporter. She's married, has young kids. Mike Vrabel is married as well. and they were seen together at a resort, and the pictures are of them poolside and hugging and holding hands, and it's not a good look. And it's not just like the Coldplay thing. It's not just a bad look for them individually. It's a bad look, I think, when you have two married individuals to other people are seemingly having some kind of thing here where she's an NFL reporter and he's an NFL coach, and they're off talking. And she's also been one of those people talking about A.J. Brown needing to get traded to the Patriots. And it's just she's put herself in a really tough spot. I saw a post from her last night trying to get into the reporting mode, Mike. Not one comment is going to be, oh, wow, you really think that's a good idea? It was all, every single comment, Mike. I don't think one legitimate comment was about her football reporting at that point. Yeah, and Vrabel's going to get the same thing, too. Fair or unfair, but that's what's going to happen.
Kind of ruins the credibility when you do something like that.
It does.
And when you, like, when you're in that position, you have to work extra hard not to get caught.
I mean, even if it was a male hanging out with a male reporter hanging out with another male coach and they're just like buddies, we would still be like, dude, like, oh, that's your guy. You're never going to say anything bad about Vrabel. It's your guy. Your credibility about the Patriots is out the window. This is that times a thousand.
Yeah. I mean, like if Bo Nix's best friend was covering the Broncos, you're like, is your best friend really going to be...
Yeah, like if Sean Keeler and Bo Nix are best friends, I'm like, wait, Keeler, you're supposed to be critical of Coach Prime and, you know, Coach Jim Mora and Sean Payton, yet you never really say anything bad about Bo. Oh, that's right, because you're best friends. Everything would be magnified. And that's how this story is going to go. And some people are saying, it's a personal thing. It's their relationship. Mind your business. It's the NFL, man. That's all of our business. And when stuff like this happens...
I think her job is probably over.
I think there's a good chance it could be.
I mean,
not like, because how do you take her seriously when she's posting about even the Patriots, who she's talked a lot about? So we're going to get into the story a lot more tomorrow. We'll have a lot to unpack. The Nuggets are at it tonight, and the Rockies are starting up here. We got pregame coverage coming up at 12:30 with the first pitch at 1:10. Michael, 1:10. And we'll see if the Rockies can get it done for four in a row. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.